T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Evan Roberts, Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Happy opening day! We have finally made it. Now let's cut the crap, okay? Enough of the romantic stuff. Baseball's back. It's very, very exciting. The Yankees take on the Astros today, the pregame show, in about an hour and 25 minutes. But I want to cut that crap out immediately. I want to stop that immediately. Because today at 4 o'clock, Tiki Barber, yes, is not just opening day, it's war. Because war of who this team is playing. This is the team you need to knock off. This is the team you need to get past. This is the team that stopped you at every freaking turn when you thought you were going to the World Series, whether it was 17, whether it was 19, whether it was 22. So with all due respect to Corbin Burnes and the Baltimore Orioles, with all due respect to the Tampa Bay Rays, actually none respect to them, with all due respect to the Guardians and the Twins and even the defending world champions themselves, the Texas Rangers, let's cut the crap. This is the team, Tiki, they need to get past. This is the team that cheated you in 2017. This is the team that features Jose Altuve. These are the bastards that you need to get past. So we're not just celebrating opening day in March. We're talking about a championship come October. Tiki, the war begins now.
I'm wondering if that was a Freudian slip. The bastards instead of the bastards. You put an A instead of an E instead of an A because of how the Astros have bested the Yankees so many times over the last 3 or 4 or 5 years here. But yeah, you know what? You're right. In the big scheme of thing, does this one of 162 mean that much? The answer is no. But I think psychologically and emotionally, it means a ton. Because think about what the Astros used to do to the Yankees. Not used to, but what they've consistently done to the Yankees. It hasn't mattered where they're playing them, right? It doesn't matter if they're in Houston, doesn't matter if they're in the Bronx. The Houston Astros take on the Yankees like they're their little brother. Like we own you. It doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter who's pitching. Doesn't matter if Aaron Judge is going for 62 or 82 home runs in a season. It doesn't matter. We are going to be better than you. That's their mentality. And the only way the Yankees change that is to go down on the road and beat them, especially on opening day, and ruin the start of their season and get off to a great one. So you're right. This is war. It doesn't mean anything in the big scheme of things, but it means a ton psychologically for the Yankees.
Here's the way I look at it. So the Mets aren't opening the season today. They're opening the season tomorrow. And when you're at Citi Field or you're watching the Mets, the entire day is a celebration of baseball because your opponent doesn't mean a damn thing to you. Mm. The Milwaukee Brewers mean nothing to the Mets. So it's a baseball game. It starts off as just, hey, I'm excited baseball's back. And then it morphs into, hey, I'd like to win this game against this nameless team I don't give a rat's ass about. Yankee fans, I want to make you a promise because I know exactly how today is going to go. Right now, you're in that romantic feel. Right now, you're very excited. Baseball's back. We waited a long, long time for it. It's a rainy, disgusting day in New York City. You're leaving work early. You're getting out of school early. You're going to a bar. You're going to your house. You're going with family and friends. And at 4 o'clock, you're going to watch baseball. And for the first 5 minutes, you're right. It's all romantic and beautiful. Mm. And then you're going to look into the eyes of the devil himself. You're going to look into the eyes of the guy that you can't beat. And I'm not saying that in a mocking way. I'm saying that in a real way, and that's Jose Altuve. Let's not forget who he is. Let's not forget what you say about him when he walks into your building. These are the Houston Astros, and they can change their manager, and they can change their roster, but they still are the team you need to get past to get where the ultimate goal is. And the ultimate goal right now is getting to a World Series. I'm even going to take it away from winning it. I'm saying just getting to a World Series, something they haven't done since 2009. And there is a specific reason why they haven't since 2009. It's because of them. It's because they've been better. So all this discussion we've had for the last few months about are they good enough? Have they improved their rotation? What about this lineup? I'll make you a prediction, but it's really a spoiler. If you're getting to the World Series, you're beating them. Mm-hmm. It's the only way this is going to go down. You have to beat them, and you're probably going to have to beat them in this building that you're in today. This is the measuring stick. This is the franchise. This is the boogeyman. It isn't Brian Cashman. It isn't Aaron Boone. It's them. They've stopped you at every single turn, and within 5 minutes of this game starting, everything I'm saying to you right now, you will start to remember. They're the enemy. They're the measuring stick. They're the team you need to get past. That's who you've got to beat if you want to get back to World Series.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong, Evan. But as I think about the Yankees, I'm wondering if this message is being conveyed. I'm wondering who is standing up in the Yankees clubhouse in the next hour or so and saying what you're saying. Because I think about Aaron Judge. He's cerebral. I think about it, even the manager, Aaron Boone. He's a little cerebral. Volpe is young. Giancarlo Stanton, we know he's very quiet. I'm trying to DJ's not playing. Who is standing up and giving that fire and brimstone, like the football speech, you know what I mean? The walk out on the gridiron speech. Is anybody doing that in the Yankees clubhouse? Because in my mind, I see them saying, all right, guys, we got a long season to go. This is just the first one, 162. Let's get out there and get things done, right? And it's just kind of benign and let's play baseball type of thing. Mm-hmm. But if they want to make this important, if they want to make this symbolic, if they want to make beating the Houston Astros on opening day in their house something that not only gets them a W, but puts in the Astros' mind, we are a team to be reckoned with this season, they have to be emotional about it, right? They have to get excited about it. I'm not saying overexcited because that leads to negativity ultimately. Right. You get tight, you get stiff, you try too hard. But I wonder if it's being communicated like you're saying it or if it's more, yeah, you know what, guys, we're going to go out there. We got to just do this because it's our first game. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Having fun is cool, right? Having fun is what baseball is all about. It's what opening day is all about. But it's got to mean something sometimes. And today, it's got to mean something for the New York Yankees. But somebody's got to express it. And who is that person that's going to express it?
I got somebody. It's going to blow your mind, though. I have the perfect guy that's got to walk into that locker room today and give that rah-rah speech I just gave. And I'm going to say the name. It's going to shock people, and then I'll explain it. The guy who should do it is Joe Girardi. because Joe Girardi. Yeah, that's right. Joe Girardi should do it. Now, you may say, what the hell are you talking about, Evan? Are you stuck in a different universe? Joe Girardi lost his job because of the Houston Astros. He did. I mean, let's face it. If the Yankees get to the World Series, there's probably a good chance he stays as Yankee manager.
True.
Dare I say they win the World Series. Joe Girardi now works for the Yes Network. And there was a story from about an hour ago from Eric Bolin, who does a great job covering the New York Yankees, in which Joe Girardi, now a media member, now a member of the Yes Network, he's on the Yankee side now. He's not working for another organization. He's on the Yankee side. He's a broadcaster. Mm-hmm. It would behoove him for the Yankees to do well. Joe Girardi's a great journalist now. So he went down to the Houston Astros locker room, maybe ask some questions, maybe make some comments, maybe remind them, you only beat me because you had trash cans. And Joe Girardi was declined the ability to get in the locker room because, according to the Astros, and as much as they've claimed they've changed, they haven't changed, and it starts with ownership. They said, oh, I'm sorry, you don't have the right credentials, sir. We can't let you in. So the Astros started this. The Astros began all of this. Joe Girardi's credential is his face, okay? He's Joe Girardi. And so the Astros decided on this beautiful opening day, we're going to be a little petty. We're going to be a little petty, and we're not going to allow a journalist and a former manager who they had basically lose his job because of their cheating. They wouldn't let him in that locker room. So if I'm Joe Girardi, who's got some built-up energy, I think he goes into the Yankee locker room where he knows a handful of guys, you know, a couple of guys are left from that 17 team, specifically Aaron Judge, and he says, guys, I can't do anything about it anymore, but these guys stole something from us in 2017. And then they stole something from you, Aaron, in 2019. Don't tell me they weren't using buzzers. And in 2022, well, they didn't really steal anything. They just kicked your ass. But guess what? This is the road back to redemption. You need to do it for yourselves, and you need to do it for me. And then he walks out of that locker room. Come on, man.
That sounds exciting, and it sounds awesome. But what is the likelihood that Aaron Boone's going to actually let him do that? You know, I'm going to bring in my predecessor. He can give this speech better than I can. There's no chance. I hear what you're saying. It makes sense. And it would be awesome, all right? But I don't see that happening. I think, like, it's got to be a player. And you know what? I hope it's Aaron Judge. I know Aaron is not a loud screamer. I know he's not that kind of, you know, rah-rah type of player. He's is more of an example type leader. And I think a lot of the guys on the Yankees are that way. But sometimes you have to. Sometimes you have to, right, give that extra oomph, that extra emotional lift to a guy and to your team, because you never know. Like, there's that one moment in a game that always makes a difference. In football, we call it the game of inches. In baseball, it's that, you know, taking that strike or going after something, or going after a strike and getting a big hit or extra effort to get that ball in the hole or whatever it may be, the dig at first base. It always comes down to effort. It always comes down to having an extra meaning to do something better. And sometimes you need reminding of that, and somebody needs to say it. That's the only way this game means what we think it means for the New York Yankees. And it does mean a ton, man. It's opening day, but it is the Astros. It's on purpose, obviously, right? Major League Baseball knows what they're doing. They want to put a matchup on opening day on the road for the Yankees that people are going to pay attention to. And whether or not you love or hate the Yankees, you know what this rivalry means, because outside of the division, it is the biggest rivalry the Yankees have.
Tiki, Juan Soto, if this whole year is going to be about paying Juan Soto and he's Mr. Grab His Junk and Do the Shuffle, he needs to be the guy that is no longer stale on this team.
You think he can do it right away?
Yes, he can. Yes, he can. He's the best player in baseball. By the way, they've been together for a month. Hey, guys, I know I haven't been here for the wars. Let's go. Get on my back. Times have changed. And oh, by the way, the Astro fans, it's their opening day too. It's their home opener too. What a great way to send a message than showing them these aren't the same old Yankees, not the same old Mets and Jets, with Juan freaking Soto hitting a bomb today, setting a tone, letting the team know beforehand, show that these Yankees are different, and that starts and ends with Juan freaking Soto.
And remember this about Juan Soto. Juan Soto is the guy who actually knows how to unlock the Houston Astros because destroyed them in the 2019 World Series after the Yankees couldn't get the job done. It's funny. it's the regular season. And since 2017, when this rivalry really bloomed, because I look at that wild card game in 2015, I don't even count that as part of the rivalry. The rivalry really began in 2017 during that classic seven-game ALCS. But during the regular season, the New York Yankees are 21-20 against the Houston Astros. So it's not like the Astros have destroyed them by any stretch. It's been kind of an even fight.
Right.
It's a fair fight.
It's been the games that matter, the playoff games that matter.
No doubt. And I remember a couple of years ago, it was actually back in 2019, they went to Houston and it was the first weeks of the season and they swept them in Houston. And it felt like, oh, this is it. So I'm not telling you that beating them here changes things in October. It's not necessarily going to unlock beating them when it matters. But this is the team that haunts you. And this is the team that ultimately you need to get past. Because I think we live in a new world of baseball. And you may not like this new world. You may hate this new world. But this is the reality. Who's in your division kind of matters a little bit less.
Mm-hmm.
Winning the division kind of matters a little bit less. It's about making the postseason and winning when it counts. What the Houston Astros have done marvelously since 2017 is they've done that. They have been in every American League Championship Series since 2017. Every single one of them. That is like seven in a row now, eight in a row. I got to count them up. Whatever it is. They are the automatics. And they are the team and is the team you got to beat. So all the conversation we're going to have today and we're going to have over the next few weeks and we've had during the offseason about how good the Yankees are, how good their pitching is, how good their lineup is, this is the team you're comparing yourself to. So as you watch this game today and you watch Framber Valdez and you watch this Astros lineup, this is the measuring stick team. And quite frankly, I think the Yankees are close to them.
Yeah.
I really do. I don't think the Yankees are a million miles away. It's why I have been kind of positive about the Yankees over the last few months, because I think what they did by adding Alex Verdugo, by adding Juan Soto, is they improved what needs to be the strength of their team, and that is a lineup. Now, they've got to hit now with DJ LeMahieu not being here, at least for the start. But to me, this is going to be the strength of this team. This is going to be the thing that leads them back to the postseason. And that's why I look at the Astros, and they are the measuring stick, and they are without a doubt the team to beat. Don't give me crap about Texas or Baltimore. Stop it. It is this team. I don't believe the Yankees are that far off from the team they need to measure themselves against in the Astros.
The question is, have they caught him? Does the addition of Juan Soto allow the Yankees, at least on paper, to catch the Houston Astros? Has that happened? And we'll find out very quickly. Soto is obviously in the two-hole this afternoon, so we'll know right away whether or not the Juan Soto experiment has an effect. He could walk. It could be benign. But we'll see how they pitch around him, and we'll also see how Judge does. More importantly, as we speculated, I think Gleyber Torres is leading off this afternoon. And so when you look at the Yankees lineup right now, it feels, I don't want to say right, it just feels formidable. Especially with the spring that Gleyber had, then you have Soto and then Judge and Stanton at DH, who had four home runs. Rizzo hopefully is healthy. And then Volpe sitting there in the six hole is maybe surprising, especially given the average that he hit for last year. But he's Anthony Volpe. He's supposed to be the star, right? He's supposed to evolve into the star. And so I commend Aaron Boone for giving him import. Right, there was some moments last year. I forget when it was in the season, but like they moved him to the one hole. Right, they put him in the leadoff spot.
Yep.
And there were a couple of games where, like, you saw like the energy was different. Right, you saw his performances were a little bit different. Now ultimately he came back to his mean, but I think putting him in the six hole elevates him in all of our anticipations, but also in his own mind. So I mean, the lineup looks great. For the Yankees, it depends on how they perform now. That's what matters.
We will get into this Yankee lineup, break it down, give you our thoughts on that. We'll preview opening day. Consider this an extended pregame show as the Yankees take on the Astros. We'll get to your calls next, 877-337-6666. And there's been a conversation on who's the face of Yankee fans at WFAN. And you've got such great contenders for that prize. A guy like Keith McPherson. A guy like Brandon Tierney, a guy like Big Mac, Chris McMonagle. I mean, those are three legitimately awesome Yankee fans. But clearly, they're not the face of Yankee fandom at WFAN. You'll find out who it is and hear who it is coming up next as we get you set for opening day 2024, the New York Yankees against those evil SOBs from Houston, the Houston Astros. I don't want to brag by any stretch. I don't want to brag, but yesterday at the tail end of the Evan and Tiki program, let's say at about 5:55, between 5:55 and 6:25, if you want to go back and listen on the podcast, or you can still rewind because it's within 24 hours, I would argue it was the greatest piece of radio in WFAN history. And listen, I didn't say a word. Tiki didn't say a word. So we're not bragging about anything we did.
Right. Was but I in the studio?
Yeah. What? Did you leave? You didn't stay for the whole thing?
I listened to it in the car.
All I'll say is I would advise anybody to rewind the Odyssey app to 5:55 yesterday or just go to our podcast for the final hour of the show. And I promise you, it was arguably the greatest piece of radio maybe in the medium's history. I mean, I don't know. Howard's had some great moments, but it's certainly up there. So go back and listen if you missed it. I went back and rewinded it like 15 times. Like I needed to listen to it over and over again, especially Nick Knack. Jason Nix! And if you don't know what that means, just rewind it. You'll find out. Now, speaking of Yankee fans, today is your day. Today is opening day. The Yankees take on the Astros in about an hour and a half. Our pregame show will begin in less than an hour. But yesterday on the Yankee social media account, they dropped a hype video. And it was something else, man. It really hyped up Yankee fans. It got rave reviews. And I thought it would be important for us to play the first 30 to 35 seconds of this hype video because you will notice that the New York Yankees decided to pick the voice of Yankee fandom here at WFAN. So let us hear it from the beginning and listen carefully because you're going to love this.
We understand that last year was not anything anyone in this organization expects.
I don't like losing. I don't like not making the playoffs.
I think we have something to prove to fans after last year. Absolutely. No doubt.
When you play in New York, the expectation is to win a championship, putting in the work and doing what we can to put this team back on top. It's every year.
Their fans are not happy with the team. They want to see change.
The fan wants a win now approach.
You hear that? That was Tiki Barber, ladies and gentlemen. It went from Aaron Boone, Brian Cashman, Hal Steinbrenner, Aaron Judge, yeah, little Ken Rosenthal, right into Tiki Barber expressing the views of Yankee fans.
I am
honored. How's it feel to be the voice of Yankee fans?
I am honored. Thank you very much to the New York Yankees for this prestigious representative role that I now find myself in.
The fan wants a win now approach.
It's just a fact. The New York Yankees fan wants to win, and they need to win now. That's why they get so upset with Brian Cashman. That's why they get so upset with Hal. That's why they get so upset when guys get injured. Injuries are a part of sports, part of life. It is what it is. But when it happens near a Yankee, we get pissed. You get pissed because you need to win. We need you to win. Rizzo was probably the lone exception because that feels like it was the team's fault for not diagnosing concussion. But all the other guys that got hurt were mad at them. Even Aaron Judge, even though he was making a fantastic play out in Dodger Stadium, were mad at him for getting hurt and being unavailable. For Giancarlo Stanton being so muscle-bound and stiff that he couldn't move and couldn't really play the outfield, and he gets a soft tissue injury every year. We're mad at him because you're supposed to win championships. You're not supposed to just be good and make tons of money. You're supposed to win championships. So, thank you, Yankees. I appreciate you.
Eat your heart out, Saquon Barkley. That's a real fan.
That's a good point. Let's get to your calls as we get set for opening day, 877-337-6666. We'll kick it off with Jason in Montgomery. Good afternoon to you, Jason.
What up, Jay?
What's going on, Evan and Tiki? Happy opening day.
No doubt.
Happy opening day.
Happy opening day. Tiki, welcome aboard. You know, the Yankee fan experience.
Oh, I've been a Yankee fan for a while. I mean, I know a bunch of those guys. CC's Mike. I asked Tracy, my wife, this morning. And I was like, what should I say about the Yankees? We're only going to be on the show for about an hour and 20 minutes or so. What should I say? She goes, I liked it when CC was a Yankee.
I liked it when CC was a Yankee.
I mean, it'd be great if he was still here, but you can't go back to that. So I've been a Yankee fan for a minute.
Awesome. And I got to agree with you, fellas. It does start today. It is fitting that it is against the Astros. I I found this interesting. I do think it's interesting how last year, there's probably a lot of Yankee fans that don't even remember that the Yankees did actually sweep the Astros in September because mm-hmm. we were out of it by that time.
Yep.
And so it really does start today, going back these past, 7 years now since, the ALCS in 2017. So, Evan, I just wanted to throw out this quick point I don't know how you feel about this, but I actually don't like how we play the Astros opening weekend and then again in May at Yankee Stadium. Don't you think that's a little too early to like finish the Yankee Astro rivalry?
You know what the issue is? The issue with this, and thank you for the call, Jason. Have a very happy opening day. Because we have a schedule now where you play everybody, mm-hmm. right? You play every team in baseball three times. It doesn't allow you a lot of head-to-head games with teams that are in your league but not in your division. And the Yankees are facing something very unique right now. If I ask the Yankee fan, who's your biggest rival in Major League Baseball, they're going to say the Astros. It's not even close. It's not the Red Sox. It's not the Blue Jays. It's not the Rays. It's not yet the Orioles. I think there's a really good chance that this conversation is going to change over the next couple of years with how good they are and now having a billionaire owner. But in this moment, that's the team you hate the most. And unfortunately, you're only going to play them six times in the regular season. So what's the perfect kind of calendar moment to play them? You know what I mean? Like last year it was September. Jason mentioned it. We all forgot about it because the Yankees were out of it. So I don't know if there's a perfect time to play them. It's just unfortunate that here's a blood rival and you only see them once in Houston and once in the Bronx.
Yeah, so I was looking, I was looking at last year's schedule because he talked about the September. Remember they swept the three games, but it was seven they played last year, right? Because they had four.
Yeah, so it switches between six and seven last year.
But
that
four game series, it was in Houston, it was in August.
Right.
And so it kind of, I don't know if they do that on purpose, where it's within a month span that these out of division, but in league teams, you kind of push them, smash them together. But I don't mind that, to be honest with you, because you get it out. I don't say you get it out of the way, but you know that they're going to be waiting for you. Right, and you know that you have this experience early, start the season, obviously. Then you have it again in May, and then it's like, all right, dude, we're building for you. We're coming for your asses, right? I know we're not playing you. We're not going to get this head to head, but when we get to September, you guys better be ready because we're going to be ready. So I don't necessarily mind it because they're not going to be out of mind. Obviously, they'll be out of sight because we're not playing them, but they're not going to be out of mind despite the fact we won't see them for 4 months.
The scheduling is weird. It doesn't mean as much because the Mets and Brewers have no connection, but the Mets open the season against the Milwaukee Brewers, mm-hmm. and they close the season against the Milwaukee Brewers.
I mean,
so they
know why that is, right?
Oh, God, don't give me David Stearns. Really?
I mean, seriously.
Nobody cares about that.
Nobody cares, but there's a reason that it happened.
I think that's
Dude, I do not believe in coincidence. I just don't. I think too many intentional things happen, and they chalk it up to coincidence, but you look behind the curtain a little bit. It's like, all right, that was manipulated in some capacity. I don't believe that, just by happenstance, David Stearns leaves Milwaukee Brewers and comes to fix the Mets, so to speak, and they play right at the beginning of the season, and then ultimately at the end when it might mean something, right? It might be those two or three wins that determine whether or not the Mets, who are, you know, in a wait-and-see mode, get into the postseason. Of course it was intentional, dude.
I sure hope it means something. I'll tell you that right now. Maybe planning my trip to Wisconsin, see if the Packers are home that weekend. Let's go to Alex calling from East Northport. Good afternoon, Alex.
How's it going, guys?
What's up,
man? Big fan of the show. Happy opening day.
No doubt.
Thank you.
I just wanted to mention, I know Stroman turned down opening day to pitch for the Yankees, which, you know, is concerning in itself. But I think he missed a massive opportunity, especially against the Astros, to kind of win over the Yankee fan base. I think if he went over there and plucked Altuve on his first pitch against them,
he would have had
the Yankee fans in the palm of his hand. Because we all hate the Astros. We still, like Evan said, it's the biggest rivalry today for the Yankees. We all hate the Astros, and I think that's set against most fan bases in the league.
But Alex, let me ask you this question. So Marcus Stroman is still facing the Houston Astros, but he's doing it on Saturday. If on Saturday evening, because I think it's a night game, if he plunks Jose Altuve on Saturday, does that work for you at least?
I'll take it because it's the Astros and it's Altuve, so of course we'll take it. Unless he was saving it for his first game against the Astros at Yankee Stadium, then, you know, really get the fans hyped with that one. But I think opening day would have been a lot better.
I understand. I appreciate the call, man. I think that Marcus Stroman not pitching opening day to me is nothing because the Yankees didn't say, hey, please start opening day.
Yeah.
And he said no. It was more, hey, let's evaluate your schedule. Let's see if this makes sense. And so I think it's not a big deal that he's not starting game number one. Look, he's facing the Astros anyway. So if you're a believer in what we're talking about the importance of playing Houston and beating Houston, he's still going to get a chance to do it, mm-hmm. even if it's not game one of the season. But Alex is right about something, even if it may not mean that much in terms of that individual game. If you want to leave some kind of mark with Yankee fans, if you want to kiss the Yankee fans' asses, you know, the way Jason Kelce has brilliantly kissed the Philadelphia Eagles and the city of Philly's asses for the last decade, the perfect ass-kissing move. And I support this if you want to do it. And I love Jose. I've got a deep relationship with Jose Altuve. So this is not about injuring him. This is about plunking him very hard in the posterior. Okay, that's all it is. No headhunting. We don't call for that. That's some BS stuff. And I know Jose's, you know, he's tiny. Okay, so it's not a big target. It's a tiny ass. But if you can just nail him, I think the Yankee fan would be very happy with Marcus Stroman.
I'd be fired up. I would be real fired up. A good ass shot to Jose Altuve to start opening weekend. Sign me up, Stro. Let's go.
You endorse that one, Tiki? You're right with that as the face of Yankee fans?
No, just strike his ass out. that's what I would do. Strike him out. That's how we'll and let him go 0-for-4. Then we'll love you.
The problem is, if you strike him out, no one remembers it. If you plunk him, everybody remembers it.
Well, I mean, he's not going to face him four times, but unless he somehow gets a complete game, which no pitcher is going to do in opening day. But still, I mean, he strikes him out a couple times and then maybe hits him and then gets pulled or gets tossed. That's how you do it.
He's the one man left standing. He's the man left standing because it's so funny looking at this Astro team, and they're a damn good team. And I made this comment earlier. You could change the manager. You could change the faces. They are so different from what they've been over the years. Yeah. Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman and Justin Verlander, but Verlander's on the IL to start, so we don't even think about him. Those are like the last of the Mohegans. Like those are, and Altuve's the face of it.
Yeah.
Like more than anybody else, he has taken the brunt from Yankee fans and from Major League Baseball fans as the ringleader, even if he wasn't the ringleader. He is still the face of that franchise, and that's the guy you hate the most. He is the big poppy of this modern Astros team, even if they couldn't be any more different. Yeah. You like that one, Sean. That's accurate, right?
Now I kind of want to call him Little Poppy because that's exactly what he reminds me of. You're right. He's this generation's killer.
Let's go to Lorenzo calling from Harrison. How you doing, Lorenzo?
What's up, fellas? Thank you for taking my call.
What's all up, good, man?
Real quick, Evan, I just want to thank you for actually clarifying that old Marcus Stroman thing. I feel like that story broke when we found out Stroman wasn't going to be starting. And everybody got all mad. They said this, that, and the third about Marcus Stroman. But if you actually go listen to an Aaron Boone interview after it came out, he clarified the whole thing and basically says, exactly. So I feel like not enough Yankee fans know that. Anyway,
well, we have to, point. Lorenzo, we have to educate them because here's the problem sometimes in sports and in the real world. There's an initial story, it's not true, mm-hmm. and then it's quietly corrected mm-hmm. so that people don't realize in mass, hey, that's not really what happened. And I think Marcus Stroman, unfortunately, is a target of people because they don't like him to begin with, so they're always going to side on the area of he was wrong. And in this case,
they're going to go to the negative. They're going to go to the negative.
And
by the way, I don't think it was corrected quietly, Evan. I think it was actually corrected quite loudly. It's just nobody listened to it.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, it's corrected loudly, but not enough people pay attention to it. So there's still this false narrative that Marcus Stroman turned down opening day when that's not really the case. It's just not true. But go ahead, Lorenzo.
Exactly. Thank you. Just a quick point, kind of reiterated. But, at the end of the day, I think everybody blows opening day out of proportion. Obviously, everybody treats it like a playoff game. It's not. We're just excited that baseball's back. But I think in the Yankees' case here, starting the season, kind of like you were saying, Evan, how important it is to beat the Astros. At the end of the day, we think about what this season can be. It comes down to 15 games. A terrible season, 85 wins. A good season, 100 wins. So it really comes down to during the season, 15 games. In this series, man, it's important. And for confidence, and of course, just getting into the playoffs regardless. So, yeah.
I agree with you, and I'll tell you another reason. Thanks for the call, Lorenzo. Why every game matters, not just the first game of the season, but games in April. And that's why, you know, Tiki's going to have to deal with this from me. I'm emotional about baseball games, but I also try to keep a greater perspective that there's 162 of them. But I'll say this before a game is played. This has been something I've thought about every year I've known about baseball. I'm going to talk about a season I never experienced. I'm going to talk about a season that I wasn't old enough to remember, but my dad told me about, and I use this as the thing on my wall every single year, and it's the 1984 Detroit Tigers. I was 1 year old, so this is not my wheelhouse of watching baseball. This is a story. And the story of the 1984 Tigers is that they started off the year 35-5. They played essentially 500 baseball the rest of the way, and it didn't matter because they had such a ridiculously good start to the season that they were able to cruise control the rest of the way. Good starts matter. If the Yankees start 17-3, it matters. If the Mets start 25-7, it matters. You could put your season on cruise control right out of the gate. So I think every game matters. I want to win on opening day, and I want to win game two, and I want to win game three, and I want to bank, Tiki, as many wins as possible because they all count, they all matter, and the ultimate goal is to be in the postseason.
The more you can
win now, the better chance you have.
I thought you were telling a deeper story, like what happened in the postseason to the 84 Detroit Tigers.
They won the World Series, Tiki.
There you go. I didn't know that. So I mean, you had to like finish the story for me.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. I forgot about that part. The funny thing is that part's irrelevant. Like, you can't win the World Series in April.
Yeah.
You can't. But what you can
do is get to the postseason.
Bingo. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You can secure that. So they all matter. They're all a big freaking deal because ultimately, in this new age of baseball, the goal is to get there. And then once you're there, yeah, get hot.
Yeah,
win a couple of series.
Yeah, especially nowadays. The examples are plentiful. With teams that start poorly and end up figuring it out along the way. But I don't expect that's going to be the case for the Yankees. We all know what the expectation is. We all know what the lineup looks like, and we could rattle through all the expectations of all the players, but it's not even about that. I think it comes back to what we started the show with, Evan, and it's the emotional tilt that this team feels on the road in Houston. And I can imagine that a lot of these guys just want to start playing baseball. They just want to get the grind underway. They just want to be able to start thinking about where a win or loss or whatever series victory, what it means down the line. But when you play the Houston Astros and they've been as dominant over you in the postseason as they have been, this game's got to mean something. You said it, or maybe Sean said it a little bit ago. This isn't a postseason game. Or maybe I think it was actually a caller. This isn't a postseason game, and it's just the first game of the season. But maybe you should treat it like that. Like, maybe you should make it important. Even if you lose, just make it mean something, because it has to for us as fans, and it should for the players, because this is the one team that always dominates. It's the team that always, as Evan pointed out, and I don't even think I realized it, even though intuitively I knew it, that they've been the 7 straight ALCSs, right? This is the Kansas City Chiefs, right? Without the champ, as many championships, but they're always there, right? Show them who's boss and do it in game one.
They are the team to beat.
He's turning me on, man. Tiki is turning me on. Oh, let's go beat these Astros.
But, by the way, these things don't mean anything, but they do.
They do. Also, on Evan's note on starting hot, you know, we do live in a world where the Texas Rangers are the defending champs, not the Astros. And the Texas Rangers reside in the Astros division. And the Orioles and Blue Jays reside in the Yankees division. There is a universe, if injuries hit these teams and they don't play up to par, where these games early, who knows if it comes down to the Yankees and Astros for the last freaking wild card spot in the AL. And you're looking back on these games, the games
that's
that matter.
I didn't even think about that, Sean, because the divisions are tough.
Now, you're right about that. As much as I would find it very unlikely for the Astros and Yankees to be battling for that last wild card spot, if they are, the head-to-head is the tiebreakers head-to-head. Mm-hmm. So the games absolutely matter. No doubt. By the way, here's a random, crazy opening day stat that has absolutely nothing to do with the New York Yankees. I apologize. But it's opening day. It's a freaking holiday. The San Francisco Giants are about to start their 18th consecutive different left fielder since Barry Bonds retired.
Wow. Wild.
That is amazing to me.
By the way, outside of Mike Yastrzemski and Michael Conforto, can anybody name anybody else? I have no idea.
That's the best part, yes. They have started, Tiki, a different left fielder every single year on opening day since Barry Bonds, I say retired, but he was really blackballed and thrown out of baseball.
Right.
Since 2008, his first opening day not with the Giants.
How's that pop? I mean, we were giving the Yankees crap about not being able to find a left fielder. Holy cow.
Yeah, that's on another planet right
that
there,
is,
right?
That's, have any of them been, none of them have been good, obviously, because they haven't stick, or maybe they're just free agents. I'm gonna have to look.
Nah, there's a lot of crappy. There's a lot of crappy ones mixed in there. Why would you? Do you really want to hear the list?
No, I don't. But say it. I just it's hard to even think about that.
No, I know, because even like with the Mets, who go through a lot of different players at certain positions, and the Yankees have had it. Like, the Mets have had a third baseman issue since David Wright retired, and even before David Wright was there. Like, third base has always been this position in Mets history that just changes all the time. But to have 18 consecutive guys, like it's crazy.
I heard them rattle off the names on the Will Clark podcast, and I've already forgotten them.
Last year was Blake Sable. Do you remember him? That was last year. Jock Peterson, Hunter Pence, Connor Joe, Pat Burrell, Aubrey Huff, Andres Torres. I'm going to stop now. Nori Aoki, that was it. But 18 different guys, and yes, to answer your question, Tiki, they all stink. Right? So there's not... They really
I mean, clearly, because they're only there for a year. I mean, I wanted to give some guys the benefit of the doubt that they just had good seasons and went elsewhere in free agency or traded or whatever it may be, but that's just bad.
Let's go to Mike, who's calling from Marine Park. Good afternoon, Mike.
Hey, guys. Happy opening day. You got me pumped, Evan, like the Ultimate Warrior right before the Survivor Series when he was taping up the Rockers. Remember that one?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
He was insane. Listen, I think you see, you're right. I think the biggest rivalry is Yankees Red Sox, but their biggest nemesis, current nemesis, right now, are the Astros. And it's all going to boil down to this. I think the Yankees are closer because the Astros pitching is not where it was in their when they had Cole and they had peak Verlander. It's all going to boil down to this, boys. If Nestor Cortez gets shellacked today, I don't want to be negative. Everything tonight on the radio is going to come back to Cashman not being all in. Why don't you go after Bauer? Why? I kind of like Tyrone from that.
Yeah, but why? Just keep this in mind. Keep this
Bauer's
in mind. Mike, thank you for the call. The going after Trevor Bauer is far different than the going after Blake Snell, now it's too late. The going after Jordan Montgomery, now it's too late. You know, and I think this Bauer thing is going to hang over. And he is right about something. He's right that if Nestor Cortez struggles tonight, or if Marcus Stroman struggles over the weekend, or the Yankee pitching in general struggles, there will continue to be this cry and this question of why not Trevor Bauer. And the thing you have to understand is the why not has nothing to do with baseball. Okay? It has nothing to do with baseball. The why not has to do with the Yankees, Major League Baseball, and basically every owner knows that we don't know. And I understand that there's frustration because you say, well, I want to know. Why is he not being employed? There is more information that I don't know, that we don't know, that they know. So just keep it in mind. It's not a baseball thing. Yeah. It's not. If it was a baseball thing, of course you'd sign a guy on a one-year deal and give it a shot. But he is right, Tiki, whether it annoys me or you or not, if guys struggle, that's going to be the easy thing to pull from and say, go add him. But you got to remind yourself, nothing to do with baseball.
Right. I mean, Trevor, it's just not going to happen. I mean, he has done everything in his power to present himself to Major League Baseball teams, whether it was going on with BT and Sal on the midday show here on WFAN and talking about his story and his journey and how he's throwing faster now and he picked up a splitter or whatever the heck he picked over up in Japan, all those things, whether it's jumping on these international teams and, you know, throwing these back, you know, closed session outings or whatever it may be. People have seen him, right? It's people, scouts know what he is, and they know what he's done. They know whether he's improved or not. The fact of the matter is, no team wants him. And I've told you this, guys, before. I've mentioned it in different scenarios. We just came up with Bill Belichick. There's no room at the inn sometimes, and that's exactly what it is with Trevor Bauer. People feel like his career is over, and nobody wants to give him a chance, and it's not because he's not a good baseball player.
Anthony is calling from Staten Island. What's going on, Anthony?
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up?
Good.
Couple of things. Give me a stat on how many World Series the Giants won when Bonds left.
good. By the way, touche, pal. Yeah. Touche.
First thing. Second thing, the Yankees, should they get to the playoffs? Yes. Should they have a good year? Yes. Can they beat the Astros? No way. They
no
had
way.
A chance.
Why no way?
Way? Forget it.
Why no
they
way?
They can't measure up. They're hitting, and there was one guy that Cashman had to get. One guy. Two words. To control Alvarez. Josh Hader. Josh Hader not only doesn't go to the Yankees, he goes to the Astros.
Yes. Yes. So, but by the way, thank you for the call. And look, I screamed about Josh Hader before he went to the Astros. That was the move. And I know Sean and I argued about this, that I preferred Hader over even Blake Snell. I preferred Hader over even Jordan Montgomery. I thought he could make a bigger impact on the Yankees by putting him in the back of the bullpen. You already have Clay Holmes. You already have Jonathan Loaisiga. You already have young Ian Hamilton and Tommy Canley coming back. You would have yourselves a dynamic bullpen. And you're right. When you think about a guy like Yordan Alvarez, who's batting second today, like that's a guy in a big spot you're going to have to get out. Mm-hmm. And Josh Hader is one of the most dominant relievers in baseball. So I agree that that would have been one of the moves I made. But I also really understand where he's coming from, Tiki. When you can't see a team beating another team and it never happens and they beat you over and over again, no matter what you do, you think to yourself, we can't beat them. And I had that as fan. I had that as a fan in the late 90s with Atlanta, where I was like, we'll never beat them. And the one time the Mets got to the World Series was when someone else beat them.
Yeah, right.
Was when someone else did their dirty work. So I could sit here and talk baseball to analyze why he's wrong. But from an emotional standpoint, 17, 19, 22, I get that feeling of, you know what? We're never going to beat these bastards.
Yeah, well, I think, and again, this is why this game is important. This is why the mentality going into this game is important. And look, we talked about right, the lineup for the Yankees with Torres and Soto and Judge and Stanton and Rizzo. But when you go look at it on the other side, it is just as daunting, right? It is very daunting. There's a bunch of those guys in the top four or five that have had 30 home run seasons. And so Nestor Cortez, I mean, the most important player in this game right now for the New York Yankees is Nestor Cortez, right? He can't afford to get off to a slow start. I mean, 2 years ago, we thought he was this marvel that was going to be this feel-good, unbelievable, out-of-nowhere story after throwing 150-something innings and being an all-star. And then he was half of that, and his ERA doubled a year ago. So it's a crapshoot. Like, we don't know what Nestor's going to look like. We know what he looked like in the spring, but we don't know what this season's going to bring. And of any player, obviously the expectations are there for Soto and Judge and everybody else, but of any player, I think the biggest pressure is on Nestor Cortez facing
Nestor Cortez, this
Astros lineup today. I mean, it is because it's daunting and it can be really tough for him.
Set that tone. We'll come back. We'll get back to your calls, 877-337-6666. And we'll check in on the New York Yankee lineup that does not feature a guy who should be in the lineup. And there's an excuse for why he's not in it. Will we accept that excuse? We'll explain it coming up next. Live, right before opening day. It's like extended Yankee pregame before we throw it out to Houston, Texas for New York Yankees, Houston Astros, game one of the four-game series, and game one of 162. You know, it's amazing. Today is opening day. The Mets got rained out. They're going to play tomorrow against the Milwaukee Brewers. I went out this morning. I got my umbrella ready. I had the big jacket ready because I was going to walk my dog, and there was no rain. And I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. No rain. But don't worry, the rain will come. The rain has never come. And I'm looking at the weather app, Tiki. There's no rain in Queens.
There is no rain in Jersey. There's no rain in New York. There's no rain in Queens. Second year in a row. Canceled for no reason. It is miserable, so it would suck to sit outside in the damp. Because even when it's cold, if there's humidity and if there's precipitation, it's colder, right?
You know,
and if it's hot, it's hotter. So, I mean, it's nice that you don't have a crappy day, but There's no rain. You could have played today.
So here's the key to this not becoming a disaster. So last year when the Mets rained out their home opener into the next day turned out to be a worse day. Mm. So we were like, what the hell is going on? We're sitting in worse weather. It does look like tomorrow is still supposed to be like a reasonably nicer day
than
what we have today.
Last I looked, it was a little breezy, but other than that, it should be okay.
They would not have been able to play at 1 o'clock. It was pouring here on Long Island in Queens. Pouring.
Oh, it was? Okay.
It was. So all I know you're up north, Ev. It was absolutely pouring. But now, as we stand now, they could have gotten a 3 o'clock first pitch in. But again, roads were flooded in, getting people to drive, and tomorrow's forecast is way better.
Nah. You know what? If they were going to delay the game, it wouldn't have been worth it. So you know what? The Mets made the right decision. But there is a little bit of pressure on Steve Cohen. I don't know. And Hal Steinbrenner, too, by the way. I don't know if you guys saw this, but the brand new owner of the Baltimore Orioles decided to show up at Pickles Pub outside of Camden Yards today and buy everybody beers before the game.
That's awesome.
So I don't know when Hal's planning on, maybe next Friday at one of the places outside of Yankee Stadium, maybe at the Hard Rock itself, but I fully expect Hal and then Steve Cohen to do it tomorrow, except we have nowhere to go at Citi Field, so I guess it would have to be inside Citi Field that he gives us the free beers. But good job by the new Orioles owner. And speaking of ownership, what a horrible day for A-Rod. Alex Rodriguez, the man we honored, the man who had his own day as a banner flying in the WFAN studios, we all believed was going to buy the Minnesota Timberwolves. And today, the owner of the Timberwolves, Glenn Taylor, announced, yeah, I'm out. We're done. This isn't happening. And so A-Rod lost the Mets to Steve Cohen. He lost J-Lo to that Boston actor. Mm-hmm. And now
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck, right, whatever his name is.
Hey, by the way, he took her, because weren't they together before? Like, so yes. Alex took her, had an after, and whatever.
Yeah, took her back, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah. And now he's lost the basketball team. So
he's still a minority owner. He lost his ability to become the majority owner.
Yeah, that's basically, that means you got nothing, if we're being fair.
Yeah, well, he could use his, I don't know, influence to potentially purchase another team down the line. At least he's already approved as an owner, so to speak. I don't know.
You know what? I'll tell you something.
It's just odd. The way that thing played out is odd.
I'll tell you something nuts right now, and trust me, there's about 35 people in the audience that are going to scream when I say this and say, you're right, Evan. Alex, if you'd like to buy a basketball team,
stop.
Come to Brooklyn, sir. We'll gladly take you.
Oh, sign me up. A-Rod can retire his own number in Brooklyn.
The problem is Joe Tsai doesn't need to sell. He doesn't need the money.
I know. He likes ruining all our lives. I understand that.
He could just hold on to it and say, I'll do it because I feel like it.
Here is the Yankee lineup, by the way, if you're just tuning in. Of course, first pitch in about an hour. You'll hear the pregame show coming up in about 20 minutes. Gleyber Torres is getting that nod in the leadoff spot. There is a lefty on the mound for the Astros, Framber Valdez. So keep that in mind when you hear this lineup, that this is really a lineup you're going to have against a lefty. I don't think you have this lineup against a righty. In fact, I don't know if Gleyber Torres leads off against a righty. I think it's possible Alex Verdugo does. But either way, Gleyber Torres is leading off today at second. Juan Soto batting second. Aaron Judge is batting third and center. Giancarlo Stanton, who has started more games on opening day at DH than anybody in the history of the New York Yankees. Let that be digested for a little bit. Giancarlo cleaning up at DH. Anthony Rizzo, first base, batting fifth. Anthony Volpe at shortstop, batting sixth. Alex Verdugo in his Yankee debut is batting seventh. Jose Trevino is catching. And Oswaldo Cabrera is batting ninth and playing third base. Oswaldo is still listed as a switch hitter, but throughout spring training, he's been batting exclusively left-handed. So we'll see if he keeps that trend going against Valdez today. Now, you may be asking the question, hey, guys, I thought the Yankees made a trade for a third baseman the other day that I raved about on the air to you guys and
you
told
said
you how
good
he is.
Start. You said Cabrera's on the bench now. He's the utility player. Yeah,
that is. That is right. Now, you may say, well, why is that happening? Was Evan just an idiot, or is there a reason for why John Birdie, the newly acquired John Birdie, is not starting and Oswaldo Cabrera is, especially in a matchup like this?
It's okay to be wrong, Evan. It's all right.
Well, do you think I am wrong, or do you think there's a reason? Because guess what?
There's a reason.
All right, go ahead.
And I want you to tell me, Tiki Barber, as a world-class athlete, if you accept this reason.
All right.
John Birdie landed in Houston at around 2 a.m., and Aaron said, I want him to get acclimated.
Cry me a river. Cry me a river. You're making a lot of money. Go play ball.
Now, To be fair, John Birdie did not make the decision, so we are not mocking John Birdie. John Birdie, you know, I'm sure wants to play. I'm sure he wants to be the opening day third baseman for the New York Yankees. Why would he not?
Yeah.
The problem is Aaron Boone made the decision, and I got to tell you, Booney, if you're listening, what are we doing here? He didn't get enough sleep, my ass. Put him out there.
You know what this sounds like to me? This sounds like Aaron Boone was more than okay with Oswaldo Cabrera playing third base. And yes, we'll bide our time until DJ gets back. And then Cashman goes and makes a move for John Birdie. And so what happens is Aaron Boone, obviously knowing that Birdie's going to ultimately get time because they wouldn't have traded for him if he wasn't, is making a decision to give Cabrera the opening day start because he likes the kid.
Because he likes him.
Because that's what it sounds like to me. Or he wants to see him succeed and give him every opportunity to be successful. That's what this feels like to me.
Yeah, I don't like it. What about you, Sean?
Get your ass in the lineup. You got on a plane. And by the way, if he didn't have enough sleep, he's not acclimated, I don't need to see him taking ground balls 3 hours before the game. How about allow him to get to the stadium an hour later to rest more and actually play the game instead of ground balls? This isn't like he needs to learn the plays on a football field right here.
Yeah, there's no reason for him not to play. And so I'm serious. The only thing I can think of is that Aaron Boone made an excuse to get Oswaldo Cabrera in the game.
He wanted to reward the young Oswaldo and say, here's an opening day start.
100%.
That's a long-ass season.
I was going to say, by the way, is Tiki's Cry Me a River, Cry Me a River now in play to be Birdie's home run song from Sterling?
Oh, that's true. You know what? Bye-bye, Birdie. Cry, though, doesn't fit, does it?
No.
Bye-bye. It's got to be bye-bye, Birdie, not cry-cry, Birdie.
Cry-cry, Birdie.
But he was just so good and elegant that maybe Sterling just swipes it.
He was very elegant. By the way, speaking of John Sterling, rewind the Odyssey app to about 5:55 yesterday here on Evan and Tiki, and you will hear a mouthful of John Sterling. Hey, grand slams, no-hitters, double plays, they're all back, and there's no better place to get in on the MLB action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers can start this MLB season with a $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. That's $200 you can use on money lines, total strikeouts, homers, you name it. A lot of options if you want to play with today's Yankees-Astros game. I've already made a couple of bets, but I'm going to keep it to myself. As Sean and Tiki know, I have an interest in this game because who's the ace of the fantasy team known as Evan's Ass Kickers? Framber Valdez. But hey.
Tattooed today.
Is he?
Yes. We'll see.
But you can bet on whatever you like. Just go to FanDuel.com/Evan and join me. FanDuel.com/Evan. Make every moment bigger with the official betting partner of Major League Baseball. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of WFAN. 21 and over, physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable. Bonus bets expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com for help with a gambling problem. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Manhattan business owners, especially small Manhattan business owners, I know you're in the market for more cash. You got to check out Amazon Hub Delivery. They partner with small businesses to deliver packages in their communities with their existing resources. So you and your staff can handle Amazon local deliveries and your business gets a little bit of extra income and some extra cred in their neighborhood. Here's how it works. Each day, Amazon will deliver packages to your business and you and your staff will deliver those packages to customers in your area when you have time during the day and you get paid for every package you deliver. It's another source of income. It's pretty awesome. There's also a referral program where referral partners can earn up to $500 per partner that signs up. They're looking for 2,500 small businesses a year nationally, and right now Amazon Hub Delivery is recruiting in Manhattan. So go check them out and sign up at Amazon.com/hub delivery. That's Amazon.com/hub delivery. The baseball season is now here. It's opening day. But are you still holding on to that winter weight? For over a decade, NJ Diet has helped thousands of people lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections and without any of the nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. And then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help you keep the weight off. You're fully supervised the entire time to make sure that you're burning fat and not just losing water weight. And you even even get Dr. T's personal email and phone number. Locations across New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, or available from home with live online video consultation. Call 855-5NJ-DIET and lose weight the natural way, quickly and safely. 855-5NJ-DIET or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. Get yourself slimmer before the summer and without any shots. Go to njdiet.com.
Let's get to your calls right into Yankee pregame show. Yankees Astros about 4:10 first pitch. Pregame show in 15 minutes. Toll free number 877-337-6666. Let's go to Ryan, who's calling from Rockland. Happy opening day, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Happy opening day, man.
What's up, dude?
Big Yankees fan here. Hey, Evan, I just wanted to say, as far as, like, Mets fans that like, analyze the Yankees, I think you're probably the fairest one I've heard. Definitely more fair than Sal. I was looking at him bash the Yankees all day today. I couldn't wait till 2 o'clock after that. But I just wanted to say that.
He's an IBO. Yeah, you know that. Independent Baseball Observer.
That's right. I can morph into an IBO at all times, including an IBO for basketball. The Knicks are going to win the whole goddamn thing after yesterday.
Right.
Anyhow, go ahead.
By the way, watch out for the hate, because the hate comes subtly from Evan.
Yeah, subtly.
Evan, just don't jinx my hockey team, all right? I know you're an Islanders fan. Just don't jinx that.
Yeah, you got nothing to worry about. You're not winning anything, so don't worry. I don't have to jinx you.
Wow. All right. Told you.
That wasn't subtle.
Yeah, I know. Hey, Evan, I gave you a compliment, but that's okay.
No, it's okay. I'm not screwing with you. Go ahead, man.
I know. I'm just excited to watch Juan Soto today. And the injuries already, though, are killing. Like, LeMahieu, I think you guys have talked extensively about how critical that injury is. And then, obviously, Gerrit Cole. Like, you know, I'm worried about the pitching going into this. But you're right. Like, this four-game series is starting against Houston. Like, it's go time. Like, let's have Juan Soto go in there and hit two bombs today and just show him who the new leader of the AL is. Like,
I think, Ryan, I understand. Thanks for the call, man, the concerns around the pitching. I think what is being underrated, it's weird in New York how things can become underrated. You know what's underrated in New York City? Jalen Brunson. Like, jokes aside, I think it's amazing how underrated he has been. And I think until today, Juan Soto's been underrated.
Mm.
And I say that because...
How so? I think Yankee fans are jazzed for Juan Soto.
I think they're jazzed for Juan Soto, but I don't think they understand the impact that he really can make on this lineup.
Yeah, but
this has a chance to be a dynamic, dynamic lineup.
You know,
and that's who Juan Soho is.
Juan Soho? That's down where we do our radio show? Below Soho? look, I think that... every Yankee fan in their mind, it keeps saying the same thing, right? Juan Soto's going to go yard today. Juan Soto's going to be, I don't know, this catalyst for this offensive explosion for the New York Yankees. And likelihood is he's going to take some walks, right?
Yeah.
Likelihood is he's just going to be an on-base guy.
And that's okay, though. That means more opportunities for Aaron Judge.
But I think the expectation that he's just this masher, that's what's going to be surprising for Yankee fans. Because, yeah, he can do that, right? Of course, it's part of his game. But it's not like he's going to hit 60 home runs this year.
No.
It's going to be a lot of on base and a lot of creation for the guys that are behind him. That's who he is. That's what makes him great.
100%. And I think that the guys behind him, Anthony Rizzo with a much better season upcoming, at least I think it will be, Aaron Judge, it's just about staying healthy, are going to be given many, 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 many more opportunities to drive runs in. Like Juan Soto, let's not get confused. Juan Soto's not coming here to hit 70 home runs. That's not who he is. He's not hitting even 45 home runs. That's not who he is. But he is such a good all-around hitter. And this lineup last year missed so much. It wasn't just Judge being hurt. This lineup had an emptiness to it. And all you got to do is look at the lineup today, even without DJ LeMahieu. Alex Verdugo's batting seventh.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second.
Right.
Good solid major leaguer hitting seventh. I think this lineup is why the Yankees win over 95 games, and I think this lineup is why they're back in the postseason, and I think this lineup is why, come October, this matchup you're about to sit down and watch, you're going to get another crack at it. Now, I can't tell you on this opening day you're going to beat them, but I could tell you this is the team you have to beat. Because this is the team you need to get past if you want to go where you want to go.
Yeah, stop being a downer, Evan. Let's go, Yanks! Let's go!
Yeah! Well, you've got the pregame show coming up next, and then all the action. John Sterling, Susan Waldman. It's Yankee baseball. And then we're back, and we're talking to you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a very happy opening day. Enjoy all the baseball. Goodbye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.